Welcome, everybody, to the first ever fourth episode of the Creek Hamsters podcast. Also, the last episode of the fourth episode. The last ever fourth episode. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Reynolds. With me is one of the usual cohorts, Skylar Moore. Not with us today is Craig Deming. Craig's gone. He's busy tonight and he couldn't record with us. So, Skylar and I tried to get a replacement for Craig. Unfortunately, Skylar and I don't have enough friends to replace him, I guess.
That's true.
No one was willing to join us. So we're all alone. Skylar, in fact, is sitting, in the corner of a room in what looks like to be a very uncomfortable place because I asked him to move his microphone away from his computer. But, Jorge, you look a little bit awkward right now. You look like you're uncomfortable.
This is my normal hunched position that I enjoy in life.
Well, so. It's not the hunch. It's the corner. It's just the fact that you're sitting in a corner in a room that's clearly a fairly good-sized room, but you're in a corner, and you are scrunched in the corner almost.
It's for the best.
It's for the best. Yep. So Craig's not going to be here today. We're going to do three topics still. Skylar and I will talk about Craig for the third topic, so it'll almost be as if he's here.
Very close.
Almost. Except less loud. But almost.
You'll get to know the secret parts of Craig's life that nobody knows yet.
If nobody knows them, how do we know them?
That the public has not been informed about yet.
How secret are we allowed to go, Jorge?
Medium secret? Craig's not here to defend himself, so I'd say pretty secret.
That'll make him pretty happy. Do you think right now as he's listening to this, do you think that he is fast-forwarding to his section to see what we said about him?
Maybe. I don't know if he even made it to the point where we say that we're going to do a section about him.
Oh. Well, we're going to do a section about him. We're going to, yeah, since he's not here, we're doing a section about him. So, welcome everyone. And again, everybody. We posted this on Facebook, and I know of at least five people who are listening to this, Skylar.
What are you rattling?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm eating. I'll not eat that. I'll not eat while I'm doing a podcast. You're right. Good point. We're professional. We don't do that. Jorge, did you get any responses? Did you get anybody tell you that they listened to our podcast?
I had a friend like our podcast, but Matt. That is about as far as it went. Matt McAdow, we'll give him a shout out.
Matt, we miss you. Matt, you should come do the podcast with us sometime if you're listening to this. We need to hang out. If you're not listening to this, oh well. I got one of my old youth group kids, Michael. He wanted a shout out. He said he thinks he's gonna start something like this with his friends now. He's an A&M.
There you go.
Yeah. So we're doing pretty good, Jorge. We're doing pretty good. And then one of my old managers at Barnes & Noble said she listened. But she mostly just made fun of me after she listened. So that was good. Mm. So there were a lot of strange noises that came from my mouth.
We'll count it. We'll count it as a listener.
Okay, good. Very good. Yeah, so we have listeners now. Does that change? I mean, before I was pretty confident we didn't have listeners. Does that change what we talk about or how we talk?
Nope.
No, I agree.
Pretty sure it doesn't.
I can't imagine there'll be listeners for long anyway, so.
It's a fair bet.
So we'll just do what we do anyhow. Anyway, if you haven't listened to this before, our structure is that typically there are three of us. We each come up with a topic for the week. Then we go around and each person introduces their topic, and then we discuss. Very simple. And since there are only two of us this week, we're still doing that third topic. But we're going to start off with Skylar, also known as Jorge. Skylar, what is your topic this week?
All right, my topic is what our most ideal restaurant would look like, what features it would have, and why.
Oh, I've got my answer ready for this. First
okay.
off...
You want to go.
So my ideal restaurant, it serves... Can it serve pretend food?
Oh, yeah. You can serve whatever you like.
Okay, if it can serve pretend food, it serves all my favorite food. Fettuccine Alfredo with chicken. It serves... What is my other favorite food?
Chicken.
No. 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 Frito chili pie. It serves breadsticks. Oh, lots of bread and lots of cheese. So much bread and so much cheese. And lots of variety. So it serves lots of different types of food. But it makes all of them to be the best tasting of its category. So it can serve Mexican food and Italian food and American food. But each category tastes the best of any of that type of food you ever had before. Additionally, the food makes you feel full, but has no negative nutritional values, such as it analyzes your body and knows how much of a given nutrition you need. And so if you've had enough carbs for the day, you can eat that chicken Alfredo, and it's not going to give you any more carbs.
That is an impressive restaurant.
Now, as a feature, the coup de grace, as you will, is that in the background, the whole time, the band from Chuck E. Cheese is playing. That's right. The electronic band with the monkey. I don't remember what the other creatures are. Do you remember them?
It was pretty creepy. I'm sure there was a bear in there somewhere.
Yeah, there's a monkey. There's all kinds of... I don't know if all of them were real animals. But, yeah. Great food. Great music by the Chuck E. Cheese Band. That's my restaurant of choice.
It's a good restaurant. I'd go eat there. I'd try it at least once.
How much money would you pay for that restaurant?
Maybe I would pay a little more if I got the order to go. Just so I wouldn't listen to the Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, that's part of the charm. That's part of what's good about it.
Yeah, indeed.
Also, the waiters are half Lily and Ruby, half human. So they all...
for those of you who don't know what a Lily or a Ruby is, those are both dogs. So...
Yeah. When we lived together, we adopted them from the pound. But Lily's by my feet right now, licking my legs. But the waiters would all be Lily and Ruby. They would all have human bodies, but Lily and Ruby heads.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a very friendly atmosphere, Jorge.
Controlled by the brains of Lily and Ruby. These are not human smart Lily and Rubies.
A little bit terrifying. I don't know if I'd want to give either of those dogs human limbs.
So it's going to be hard to get your food. We're not sure if they'll deliver it or eat it or start wrestling each other.
Well, thank you. That helps me with my price point. I think it'd be closer to maybe... I'd give it $8. That's pretty solid. Maybe 10 just for the entertainment. It's quite a bit.
$10? Yeah. You get food that knows what you need.
Yeah, but I just don't spend that much money on food, Jorge. Let's be honest. It doesn't happen.
This is like the mush from The Matrix, but it tastes good. I guess the caveat is that there's a significant chance you won't get the food because the dogs won't bring it to you. So it's a bit chancy. Russian roulette with food.
Yeah, it could be exciting, I guess, if you had to race to get your food off the counter before they did. That'd be fair.
Yeah, I like this more and more. What's your answer? What is your perfect ideal restaurant?
My most ideal restaurant comes from thoughts and hopes and dreams of looking for other restaurants whenever I'm driving around trying to figure out where to eat at. And I can't ever seem to find the perfect place. I always end up settling for something. And so I guess my ideal would be something complicated but simple all at the same time. It would be where you can pick portion sizes, like served in different cups. So maybe like 2 cups of brown rice that's steamed, like no seasoning, just really simple. And you make your own combination of what you eat. So it's not exactly all you can eat or anything like that, but you pay kind of like the ice cream places that you bring your cup of ice cream up at the end and they weigh it out and then they charge you,
I
but with
see.
normal food.
So
And it's a
you.
sit down, so you can wait for them to cook the food because it's a lot of things to have on hand.
So you can get almost anything you want, but you also get to pick your portion sizes of each one.
Yeah, your exact portion sizes.
And do you pay more for a bigger portion size, or is it
Oh, definitely. It's
whatever
by weight, for sure.
you can eat? That's really good. I like that idea. How's the food taste, though? I mean, Craig's favorite is all you can eat places because he's all about quantity over quality.
Yeah.
And so I question with a place like that, how good is this food gonna be?
Don't know. I guess it would depend on maybe if you choose the seasonings, how you season it. So that'll be a big. The quality is excellent on the actual food, but the combinations you make will depend a lot on the.
So
That'll shape your taste.
it's a bit like Huhot or Mongolian Grill,
Pretty close, yeah.
but with variations of food instead of just Mongolian.
Yeah. That's
I
my
love it, man.
ideal. And for entertainment, I'd like to have costumes, pretty much. People can wear whatever costume they want to work, but they have to wear a costume. So that's their requirements as a waiter or a waitress.
What costume would you wear if you were a waiter?
I think I'd alternate. I really enjoy the idea of an astronaut suit, just because that seems very fun.
That's a good choice.
And maybe. That's tough. Maybe a monkey somewhere in there. I would enjoy that as well.
So it's normal waiters, they all are simply wearing costumes.
Yep.
That's very good. I don't know. They're not gonna entertain you the whole time, though. Like
Depends on how easily entertained you
with
are.
mine, you've got a Chuck E. Cheese man playing in the background to terrify the children, and you have Lily and Ruby humans who are as strong and able-bodied as humans, but with the brains of Lily and Ruby.
Okay, that's fair. But what if a guy dressed as Buddy the Elf off of the movie Elf comes out with some maple syrup and brings you your food? That's gonna make you smile
Is it
pretty
gonna make me scared that he's gonna put syrup on my food? That's not
big.
gonna make me smile. That's gonna make me
Oh,
scared.
maybe it'll just make me smile. Okay, so yeah, it's an exciting restaurant.
I'm trying to think of the character's name. Like, what if Wolverine comes out with knives in his hands and then gives you your food and then stabs you to death? Like that?
I mean, I guess.
So do they have to act like their character?
No, definitely not. But, I mean, what type of people do you think you're going to get if you tell them they have to dress up in a costume every day for work?
Probably weirdos. Probably you, me, and Craig.
No, I bet the drama team from the high school will come and work there. It's a good experience for the
The
resume.
drama team?
Yeah.
They're not doing anything dramatic. They're just walking around and waiting tables in a costume.
I mean, that's up to them. If they can get the food out and be dramatic, that's all on them. They can go for it.
Oh my gosh. All
Oh,
right.
it's a family safe restaurant too, so no language or anything racy.
I don't think that my restaurant would be considered safe at all. I think it would probably be considered unsafe.
Yeah, that's
Probably
true.
come at your own risk would be on the door.
That'd be neat. Maybe the guest would come dressed in like armor or something to fight off the dogs.
When you say armor, are you imagining armor plate from medieval times? Or are you imagining Kevlar vests?
No, I saw this guy in California fight off a sea lion with a big board shield that was made out of wood. So I'm thinking something like that. That was
Was
pretty enjoyable.
he was fighting a sea lion?
You could tell he was scared of it. He was mostly just walking towards it because I think that the animal rights people would be angry. So he just kind of moved towards it and then hid behind the wood shield so the sea lion didn't attack him.
So the sea lion didn't ever attack him.
Nope. It roared at him. That was pretty impressive.
That's terrifying. What was he thinking? Sea
It's his
lions.
job. He had to do it.
Where was this? Was this on a beach?
It's California on a dock.
was he putting on a show, or was he simply walking towards...
He just had to keep the docks clear of the sea lions.
Wow.
I know.
That's such a cool job. I want that job.
Maybe you can get it. Sounds exciting.
I'd bring Lily and Ruby humans out there with me. They'd help me. What do you think is scarier? A Lily and Ruby human or a zombie? But you're a mailman.
Oh. That's a good mix. That's a good twist at the end.
Uh-huh. It makes the difference. Zombies don't care what you are.
What? We've had this conversation before, I think. What type of zombie? Talking like 28 Days Later or like Living Dead?
We'll do... To make it a harder question for you, we'll do Night of the Living Dead zombie. So Lily and Ruby can run. They might not attack you, but then again, when they love, sometimes they love a little too hard, and they have full human bodies.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll go with the zombie.
That's a good choice. That's a good choice. My topic this week is... I have to remember my topic. Oh, there it is. Is storytelling. I want to know what medium you think is the most enjoyable when it comes to storytelling. So is it reading a book? Is it listening to a book? I guess we can pair those together. So just books in general. That'll be audiobooks or books, TV, movies, or video games. So there's four: video games, movies, TV, books. So which of those do you think is the most enjoyable to consume story-driven content?
Would you like for me to go first?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Okay. My medium, more than likely, is going to be movies. That's what I've always enjoyed. And I might enjoy video games if there was a little better, but I know that the focus on some stories... I haven't really experienced a really great video game storytelling. Mm-hmm. So I think movies is my fallback. It's just what I've grown up on.
What do you think it is about movies that you like so much?
I think I'm able to really get into the movie a little more just because it's visual and I can see things happening. Compared to a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a visual person, so the movie appeals to you more because of that.
I am very visual. That's probably why. And my brain shuts off a little more. Like, I'm able to fully focus on it compared to when I'm reading.
Okay, so you can't focus all the way. Yeah, but when you read a book, don't you imagine visually what it would look like in your head? Or do you not do that?
I do, and my imagination's pretty good, but it kind of runs away sometimes, which sounds strange, but I'll be reading a line of the book, and then it'll say one thing that triggers another thought, and I'll be gone.
That's called ADD.
Mm-hmm. When I'm watching a movie, it keeps me there for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm having to pay attention, because it's going to keep going without me if I don't.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. All right, so movies are your favorite because they kind of visually tell the story in an appealing way to you. What about TV, then? Why movies over TV?
I think that movies are a little more developed because they have a longer time frame, just in general.
That's not so true. I mean, TV shows have... A TV season has 10 hours of episodes, whereas a movie has maybe 2.5 if you're a Lord of the Rings movie.
That's true. TV. I guess it depends on who's writing it, because sometimes people will write just for the episode separately, and some people will write
arcs.
Yes.
Yeah.
I enjoy those, but
yeah. I'm trying to think. Depends. What's a TV show with a good arc that you really enjoyed?
That's hard to say. Were they only arcing, or were they doing both?
What about Sherlock season 2? Okay. With Moriarty. So if you paired Sherlock season 2 with any of your favorite movies, if you put it up against your favorite movies, do you think that would stand? So you have you would have at that point 4.5 hours of Sherlock versus a movie.
That's tough. It really depends, because each episode of Sherlock is just as long as any movie I would usually watch, too, so.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you hear? I saw this the other day. They're doing a special of Sherlock for Christmas this year. So there will be another hour and a half episode. It will just be one episode, though.
No, I can handle that. That's exciting. I did not hear that at all.
But the deal is that it's set in Victorian England. So it's these characters, but they're not... It's the same actors, but it's not the same characters necessarily. They're both still they're both still Watson and Sherlock, but they're Sherlock and Watson as they exist in Victorian England.
Right. So kind of a throwback episode, huh?
Yeah, it'll be weird. It won't be part of the overall arc of the thing. Okay. So you never answered the question though. So what about the quality of Sherlock versus the quality of your favorite movie?
Yeah, that's fair. Sherlock is really good. I would agree. That's one of my favorites. It's pretty hard to top because they do a really good job.
Yeah. I think I would rather see 3 episodes of Sherlock than... I say that. I mean, if I had to pick between 3 episodes of Sherlock or going to see Star Wars in this this winter, I'd probably pick Star Wars still. So maybe, maybe movies... I think the thing about movies is that they have such big budgets that they can do so much more than TV can.
It seemed like Sherlock had a really big budget as well, so
yeah, they may be right. Well. They did pretty well. I think that those two worlds are converging. I think that TV, the quality of TV is going up, and movies are still good, I think. I think that the business models for movies is not going so well. Like, people aren't going to the theaters as much as they used to, which means that movies are struggling, unless you are one of the very few movies who can definitely bring in a certain amount of people, like Avengers or Star Wars. It's very difficult to break even on movies right now.
Yeah, and it's got to be better in theaters than it would be at home.
Yeah.
Is another big trigger.
Yeah, and people have such big TVs and such good sound systems now that you don't really need to go to the theater to experience a movie.
We'll see what they do. I mean, they could go either route. Movies could get more expensive so they can make up for the people who aren't coming, or they could get less expensive to try and pull more people in.
Yeah, what do you think they'll do?
I think they'll get more expensive. I don't think they have any question about if they drop the prices if more people would come. Yeah. I don't think that's the issue.
I don't think that's the issue either. I think, yeah, eventually I think movies become what musicals are now. They're for the upper class only. They're an upper class event.
You're right, which is funny.
It is funny. That's so strange. Which at that point, I don't think you or I will be going to see movies anymore.
The Dollar Theater.
The Dollar Theater. What do you think the Dollar Theater will be at that point? A virtual reality headset you put on your face and watch it by yourself?
Maybe they'll just have TVs at the Dollar Theater and everybody can crowd around a TV on some couches.
Yeah. My answer to my question between books, movies, TV, and video games is I'm all about the books. So books are clearly, I don't think that there's any question. I get the visual thing, but books are clearly the best storytelling medium. For one, you have more there's more techniques available to you as a writer than there are to you as a movie writer. So if you're an author, you can do first person perspective, which you can't really do in a movie. You can see what's going on in your characters' heads, which you can't do in a movie very well. And there's some movies that get around that, but it is a little bit it's a little bit jarring when that happens in a movie to me. But I think that there are so many more literary techniques for book authors than there are for movie authors. So the quality of the stories they can tell are better. I also think that because when you watch a movie, you're limited to experiencing that movie. You're limited to experiencing that movie with two senses. Whereas when you read a book, when you imagine something, you experience it with all your senses. Like when somebody gets hit with a sword, you imagine getting hit with a sword. Or when it's cold outside, you imagine feeling cold. Or if something smells bad, you imagine the smell. So you get to experience the whole world with all of your senses, which I think engrosses you in the story more. And I also think that because it's your imagination when you read a book, I think that that allows you to take more ownership of the story. So because you're imagining it, it's your story, which allows you to connect with the story on a deeper level than a movie allows. So my answer with no question is books. Books are clearly the best way to experience storytelling. Although I do like movies because in a movie you get to see what other people's vision for stories are and how they imagine things and when that comes to life, and that's enjoyable. I do enjoy that. And also sometimes in movies you have multiple people imagining the story. So you have the director, yeah, but you also have the visual effects artists, and you have the writer. And so it's kind of more of a community that puts that story together. And when you do that, you have a much more grand, maybe you have a much more grand story than you do in a book.
That's true. And there are some things that are easier in that aspect of The Lord of the Rings introducing 15 characters at the beginning compared to trying to do it through a book where they have to jump you around and you have to try and log every single person that's there. It's pretty challenging.
In a book? Yeah. I don't know. Wait. So you're saying that the movie makes it easier?
Yeah, because you can see, like, you can go down the line and list each person's name as you look at them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like when I read The Hobbit, it's very hard for me to imagine 13 different looking dwarfs. But when you make a movie, you can try to distinguish them as much as possible, even though it's still very difficult to distinguish.
Yeah, definitely difficult.
All those dwarfs, that was rough. But you're right, Lord of the Rings, there's nine main characters to start out with, and they're all visually unique as well.
So that you made a good point about the stories, though, for sure. They have unlimited resources in some areas.
Do you think that anyone would make a case for video games being the best storytelling?
Medium? They might, just because you get to experience some stuff. It's a lot of the times they've gotten to the point where they base the story around the actions you take, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, I will say that video games are more similar to books than movies, because in some senses you do get to take ownership of the story as well, right? I mean, you get to make certain decisions and I guess it's more of an experiential storytelling than any of the others. So part of me is questioning why video games are not the number one means for storytelling. I mean, if you get to experience the story, if it's more experiential than a movie, why in the world would we not pick that as our number one storytelling device? Is it just because people aren't telling good stories on video games?
Yeah, I think they get rushed on deadlines and stuff, so they have a hard time. They may have phenomenal ideas for a story that they want to do, but when they look at their deadline, they're like, by the time I get this done, they'll have already moved on to a new system or something
true.
Like that.
So people
I don't
feel
know what
rushed.
The limitations are. Yeah.
I think a lot of the times it's I think maybe one of the problems is a disjointedness between gameplay and storytelling. So maybe the writer wants to tell a certain story, but the game director needs to make sure that the gameplay is fun. So the author tells a story, and you get part of that story at the beginning of a level, maybe, and then you spend 30 minutes shooting things, and then he tells the other part of the story, and it's just really jarring. So I think it's difficult to marry gameplay to storytelling.
Yeah, I would agree. Some people would much rather prefer to have just free roam, where they get to do whatever they want, and if the story was too strict, it would basically be forcing them around. So it'd be hard to make all the options make it seem like you're guiding the story completely.
Yeah. Okay, why don't we each pick a favorite story? So not like in the video game category, not a favorite video game, but a favorite story from a video game. A favorite story from a movie, a favorite story from a TV show, and a favorite story from a book. I'll go first so you can think. My favorite video game story, oh man, it's still got to be Halo. When I was in middle school, probably sixth grade, when I played Halo, and I was so pumped about that game. I loved the first Halo game, so that's very nostalgic for me. That was one game where I felt I enjoyed the story, even though it was very much just shoot everything. Let's see, TV. Oh, this is so hard. I do enjoy Sherlock. Sherlock is a good story. I'm trying to think what TV shows I have watched recently. Breaking Bad and House of Cards are very dark, and so it's hard for me to pick those because I didn't enjoy how dark they were. So I'm gonna pick Sherlock. Sherlock's gonna be my go-to story for TV. Movies. I don't know a movie. The Matrix will be my number one movie, storytelling wise, and then book wise. This is my hardest one. Thomas, The Chronicles of Thomas Covenant, The Unbeliever. Phenomenal series. Best book series, in my opinion. So good.
All right, then. Those are my good choices.
My top four. So, what is it? Halo, Sherlock, what did I say for my movie? The Matrix. And The Chronicles of Thomas Covenant, The Unbeliever. The first three books. The other six books that came out after they were a success. Don't worry about it.
Okay. On my end, for video games, it would be the first Fable for Xbox.
Hey.
I enjoyed that one a lot.
I don't even remember the story for that game. What was that story about?
It was about starting out as a kid and your family gets destroyed, like your whole village gets destroyed and you're left alone.
Okay.
I think your sister's still alive too, possibly. And your whole goal is to go and get that bad guy and stop them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you're developing your character as well, deciding whether you want to become evil or good throughout the video game.
That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to change my video game story now that you said that.
All right, go for it.
It's got to be Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay.
You never played that game, did you?
No, I didn't.
It's very similar to Fable in a lot of ways, but so good. One of my favorite games. There's a twist at the end, and I guess it's been out for about 20 years now, so it's okay to... to say what the twist is.
I don't know. People might take your recommendation and go play it.
No. Yeah, it's okay. No one's listening. You're not going to play it, so whatever. So this whole time, you create this character who you get to decide is good or bad, and at first you're not a Jedi, and then you become a Jedi, and you go around with these groups of people and you're trying to stop this big bad thing from happening. That's the train. That's
great. Sorry, my bad.
That's okay. So you're the whole time you're trying to chase down this one bad guy whose name is Malik. And Malik is the big bad guy because his old master Jorge, what are you doing? Why you gotta live by the train still? You moved. Why are you still by the train?
I'm always by the train, Jorge.
You remember that night when we were homeless and we slept by the train?
Yeah.
That was pretty rough.
It was pretty good. For another podcast, that would have been a good topic for today.
Yeah. Why is Skylar always by the train? That's a good topic. Anyway, so you're chasing this bad guy who is the bad guy because his master had died. So in the opening sequence, you see that his master had died, and his name was Revan. So Malik is now the big bad guy because his master died. And so you're chasing Malik the whole game, and then at the end of the game, you realize that Revan never died, that the Jedi Order, they got Revan, and they erased his memory. And the whole time, you've been Revan, and it's so cool. It was great. It was a good story. Anyway, okay, you may continue now.
No, that's good. So, Fable 1. Okay. I haven't found another game that I enjoy more than that as far as solo play goes.
Story.
Story and solo play.
Yeah.
Is it television show after that?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. You can go with whatever my order. Television show, I would have to say, is Fringe. Because it hits on my sci-fi just the way that I like. It's just close enough to reality that they mix things around and make a good case for it. So I was very impressed with that whole show. Mm. Movie? Oh, man. That's tough. That's really tough.
That train's off in the background now.
I know. It's nice.
That's all me. That's good. That's a powerful microphone.
My favorite movie, not based on story, maybe on story too. Yeah, we'll go for that, is Pay It Forward. That's a great movie.
I remember that. I remember you telling me you liked that movie a long time ago.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. And then my favorite book
is the Bible.
Oh, nice.
No, you don't get to say the Bible.
Oh, man. My favorite book is probably one of the first ones that I read all the way through, which is Ender's Game. They just came out with the movie of it, and it was a really solid book for me. I like the storytelling in it.
Yeah, I like Ender's Game, too. How'd you feel about the movie? Did it live up to the book?
I thought they did a really good job. There was a lot of stuff that was different, but I think because it had been so long since I'd read it, it didn't bug me as much as it bugged a lot of other people.
Yeah. I reread it right before the movie came out. I remember thinking that it was as good an interpretation of the book as you could get in a movie. That was my opinion.
Yeah, I thought it did good.
Yep. Well, do you want to introduce our last topic, our Craig topic this week?
Sure. Our Craig topic this week is going to be Craig. Jorge and I have spent some time with Craig, and so we have favorite memories.
How much combined time do you think we've spent with Craig in our lives?
Oh, man. Since the third grade for me, so I've got some
time. Since the seventh grade for me, so you have 4 years on me.
It's a bit of time.
It's been some time. Some time. All right. Sorry I interrupted you. What's the topic?
We're just both gonna say our favorite memories about Craig.
So we both spent time with Craig. What's our favorite memories?
Yeah, it's good. You can start if you like, Jorge.
Man, I'm still trying to decide. Why don't you go and then I'll go second after I know.
Well, because we spent so much time with Craig, it was tough to pick. But for mine, I'm sure he'll enjoy this if he listens to this later. My favorite topic, or my favorite memory of Craig is probably two. So, they're both small. My first one is seeing him as Acorn Man in high school at a costume competition.
I don't know what that is.
Well, for those of you who don't know what it is, it's Craig wearing a t-shirt that has an acorn on it and a cape and some brown pants and also an acorn hat that his mom gave him. Pretty excellent. And for those of you
who made it up.
Yes, definitely. Okay. For those of you who would like to see further and explore this, I'm gonna do my best to find a picture of Craig as Acorn Man and put it on our Creek Hamsters website. That's at creekhamsters.wordpress.com for those of you who'd like to come check it out.
.org.
.org.
.net. I was adding to after you do .com, then .org, then .net.
.edu.
Then ..
Okay.
You just kind of trail off at the end.
If you wanna enjoy some Craig, come check it out. Yeah. And then my other favorite memory is probably one of Craig's not so favorite memories, but we used to play a lot of Ultimate Frisbee, and when Craig started getting strong, he didn't know his own strength, so there was quite a few times when someone would get really excited about catching the Frisbee, and then they'd be on the ground out of breath because Craig had run into them and caught the Frisbee at full speed. Now, Craig is a nice guy, so he felt really bad about this every time, but when it happened, you just saw someone go flying across the field. It was very enjoyable for me. And those are my favorite Craig memories.
Wait, well, your second favorite is when Craig's hurting other people, not one where Craig's getting hurt?
I know, he would be so proud.
What about the cactus story?
I don't know that I remember the cactus story.
Yes, you do. He tells it all the time, and maybe he remembers it more. The way Craig tells it, Skylar and Craig are walking up a mountain, and Craig sits on a cactus, and then he is in so much pain and starts crying out for Skylar to help him, where Skylar is laughing so hard he can't help Craig. So then I guess that's the extent of the story. I guess someone eventually helped him get all the cactus out.
Yeah, he got some cactus in his knee, and we were at the very top of the mountain, and he had to walk down the entire way with cactus needles in his knee. And yeah, it was a pretty mature moment for me. There is definitely two people tending to Craig while I walked ahead and laughed a little bit on the way down.
There is nothing that Skylar finds funnier than Craig's pain. Nothing.
It's pretty tough. I'm definitely smiling pretty big right now just recalling that memory.
Skylar, how far does that amusement go? If I threw Craig into a volcano, would you think that's really funny as you watched him die to the lava?
No, definitely not death. Death is not funny, but pain's...
Could be pretty funny.
Pretty good. Pain is pretty good.
Okay, what about if he gets hit by a car and is paralyzed from the waist down?
Oh, no, definitely not. The way that I explain this to Craig, because he's very troubled by the fact that I enjoy his pain, is that sometimes I just think of Craig as a Chris Farley, and his expressions when he's in pain are a little bit hilarious to me. So that's how it goes.
That's pretty good. My favorite Craig story... Oh, this is hard for me. I had a hard time picking. Because some of them I'm not allowed to tell, I'm sure. We'll do two as well. One is when it's kind of when all four of us started hanging out. There was another guy in our group that we were gonna try and get on the podcast at some point in time. His name's Forrest, and we were all best friends growing up, and we were all spending the night at Forrest's house, as we often did, and Craig and I just ruined Forrest's house that night. We took some kitchen knives and we threw them at the wall and used his wall as a throwing knife range. And then Craig found a smoke bomb and put it in Forrest's gutter. And Forrest woke up the next morning to find that his house looked like it was on fire. And then the reason I think I remember that so much is because when I went home that day, another house on Forrest Street caught fire, and I saw it on the news, and I was terrified that the news was reporting that Forrest's house was on fire when it was really just a smoke bomb. And so I was convinced that Craig had gotten Forrest on the news and that Forrest was going to be furious, but that didn't actually happen. My number one favorite Craig story, though, involves Skylar. We used to hang out after church on Sundays, and we were hanging out, and I don't remember what we did. We went to go get dinner or something, and Craig didn't tell us anything. We were all hanging out. We got dinner. We're riding with Craig in his truck, which is a three-seater, and there's three of us sitting in the front seat all together. Craig just drives me back to my dorm, because at the time I'm still in college. Craig drives me back to my dorm, and Skylar and I look at him and say, "Hey, man, what you doing? Are you done hanging out?" And Craig says, "Yeah, I have something else I have to do." And so Skylar and I tell him, "Well, what do you have to do?" Now, Craig was sitting in the driver's seat, Skylar sitting in the middle seat, and I was sitting in the passenger seat. And Craig's response was his face got really, really red, and he started making this noise. Ah. Ah. Like that. And I think at first he was doing it to be funny, because he thought that that noise was funny, and it was funny. But he did it so long that it became uncomfortable, and the tension rose and rose as to what he was going to go do, and his face was red. And I remember sitting there with Skylar, and Skylar was laughing pretty hard, because he knew it was making Craig uncomfortable, and both Skylar and I had no intention of getting out of the truck until Craig told us what he was going to do. At this point, it had been going on for, no joke, 5 minutes, and I was convinced at that point that Craig was about to tell us that he was on drugs, or he had been drinking, or was really struggling with something. Like, I thought there was something really, really serious going on with Craig. And finally, he, after going for 5 minutes straight and not telling Skylar and I, he turns to us and says, "I'm going to go hang out with Candace," which is the name of Skylar's sister, his younger sister. And Skylar's face turned from a smile to a very concentrated face. And that was probably one of the best moments in my life. That was the moment when Skylar and I learned that Craig was dating Skylar's younger sister. And it was very uncomfortable for Craig. I don't think I've ever seen Craig that uncomfortable before, and it was pretty delightful. That's definitely my number one.
Yeah, what makes that so good is we always used to joke about dating each other's sisters, but then Craig's joke was real. So
in fact, my topic this week, if Craig had been here, was going to be, Craig, whose sister would you rather date, Skylar's or mine?
We'll postpone that one for next time.
We'll do that next time.
Yeah.
All right, Jorge, do you have anything else to say?
I feel very good about this podcast, and I hope that Craig enjoys listening to it later.
Yeah. Do we get to count Craig as one of our listeners?
We'll see. He might count as a partial. I think he's going to try and skip to the part, like you said.
He's a half, maybe.
We talk about Craig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that I should cut up our talk about him into little bits and put it at various intervals throughout the podcast?
No, I think it'll be good enough.
Okay. I think that's fair. Well, let's see. I think we're doing great, Jorge. I think we have like 4 or 5 listeners now. We're just a few away from being famous. And then Coke is gonna sponsor us and we're gonna be rich.
Mm. We have some goals and some aspirations. So,
Coke, please sponsor us. We promise we will say your name and not get hung up on it like the word aspirations.
True.
Coke, please sponsor us. Give us money. Anyway, this has been the Creek Hamsters podcast, episode 4. Next week, we hope to have Craig back. We might also have Forrest. We might not. We're trying to get him on. He'll be on someday. I don't know if it'll be next week or the week after that, but we're hoping to get him on soon. Michael K., here's your shout-out. If you listen to the end of the podcast, here is your shout-out. Congratulations. And that's it. We'll see you next week.